this man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Don't fade it out. Just get rid of it. Here we are. It's just you and me. Once again, gang, we've gotten through another week. And we're about to start another one on the third shift tonight at midnight. At the hospital, the school. Walking the baby. Walking the baby. Finishing the midterms. It's just us. Have all the grown-ups gone to bed? Well, that's good. Because it means that you and I get to tell our stories. And that's all we are our stories. The best storyteller wins. What's so terrifying about to American radio about this show is I tell the best stories and I'm the least likely suspect. And I don't do what the other guys do. My name's Walter Sterling. Welcome. You're new? Good. I'm always new. I've spent my whole life being the new guy. I've spent my whole life being the new guy, the guy who doesn't fit in. And coming up later tonight, we're going to hear Cher, of all people, explain that she never felt as though she fit in. And we'll do that in the last hour during our misfit hour. But this is the best time of day to be on the radio because it's just you and me. This is the best medium. I'm 14 inches from your ear. You're in the car. You're coming home from the second shift. You're coming home from the long weekend. You're coming home from the reunion. Were you stupid enough to go to that high school reunion? It's not natural. High school reunions are not natural. When you and I leave high school, what's supposed to happen? You have two or three friends from high school, and that's it. And they're your actual friends. Instead, for years, decades, there have been reunions where you're supposed to bump into people you haven't seen in 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And now you're supposed to, like, be happy to see them. But most of the people who go to reunions are the people who did not leave town. They're people who stayed in town, didn't leave, don't have interesting careers. You flew in from out of town. You have a vague career. And now you're talking to these people who you wouldn't have talked to in high school. Why would you go to a reunion where you're going to talk to people you wouldn't talk to in high school? But then the curse is the 24/7 reunion known as Facebook. That's where we raise the undead. We go on Facebook and we speak to the undead. We check him out. How's he doing now? That one that got away. And how's she doing? How does she look in her vacation pictures? Her vacation pictures. It's unnatural. It's not what we're supposed to do.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell.
This is a different kind of show. First of all, I'm live. Right now it's 3 p.m. in Guam on Monday, and we're live on The Point. We're live on KUFO. We're live on KKSF in San Francisco. We are live throughout America. There's no other syndicated show that's always live. Do you know that? Most of them are like 3 days delayed, 3 hours delayed. That means that you and I get to talk on the phone. When you call in tonight, you're going to have a chance to win a prize announcement if you can guess this voice.
You know what, though? You know what my wife doesn't realize, though? Is that she calls me Mama, too.
If you can identify that voice, that celebrity voice, that's your clue. It is a celebrity. You'll win a prize announcement. But we do other things. We do things that very few talk shows do. Why do we do them? Because this is actually a morning show at night. You know those morning shows with the wacky zoos where they have their bits? They have their bits. We have bits. So it's a morning show at night. By far, our most popular bit is called Lesbians in Space. How did this happen? It happened, first of all, because the gentlemen that I work with are obsessed with lesbians. And they encourage me and egg me on against my will. They encourage me to make Lesbians in Space, even though I have so much respect for lesbians. I don't want to make fun of them. We're not making fun of them. We're having fun with them. About 3 years ago, some boring thing hit the radio called The Serial. The Serial. And everybody was all very sweaty about The Serial. It was a serialized drama on non-commercial radio. Non-commercial radio with government subsidies, to me, is a hobby. They don't have to get ratings, and they're subsidized by the government. That's just like when I played radio in my room when I was 15. It's a hobby. This is actual radio. And this is where serialized drama was invented, on actual radio stations like WLS 890 and WMAL in Washington, D.C. These are actual radio stations, and WBAP in Dallas, KXNT in Las Vegas, and of course, KARN in Little Rock, which is the magnet of the Midwest and the South, that scary access of the Midwest and the South, that vacuum of culture. No, I'm just kidding. And I said, well, we invented serialized drama. And I know there are only three things that people want to hear at night. They want to hear about sex, sports, and UFOs.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
Do you like me in a dress?
I like you very best.
But what if I was just a mess?
I still think I was blessed.
Do you like me in the morning?
Darling, I am young.
At night when I am tossed and turning.
My feet, my heart, you're warming.
Do you like me when it's raining?
I like you night and day.
And will you stay when I am angry?
You'll always be my baby.
Tell me if it's true.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
I'm live, and my phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Joe from Atlantic City. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
I'm falling in love with you already. This is the second week you're broadcasting live.
It's sexual, isn't it?
I'm not a lesbian.
Are you a lesbian?
No, I'm a man, and I'm not thinking I consider myself a lesbian. No, no, I don't.
Do you have a cat? Do you have a cat?
No, the last one I had died. I have no pets and all that. The landlord says all I can have is cockroaches.
And does he provide them?
No, he kills them all. He doesn't want me to have them, really. Hmm.
What other pets do you have besides roaches in Atlantic City?
That is all I have. And see anything else, he tells me I'm going to kill them too. So,
now, do you live in a fancy penthouse in Atlantic City? What sort of thing do you live in?
It's a regular place, you know. They come and they go. I'm in an apartment place. People come and go, bring their bugs and give them to me.
Would you like to guess the mystery voice?
No, because I call it about this high school thing. But you're talking about mine's really confused. Very confused.
Tell me about tell me about the high school thing.
Look, I went to the public high school, right? I grew up in Absecon. They properly say Absecon, New Jersey. It's right on the other side of Atlantic City, right? Absecon, New Jersey. Public school is in Pleasantville. Hi, Pleasantville. They're pleasant there, right? That's where the Absecon kids go. And the private school is in Absecon. It's not in Absecon, but it's called Holy Spirit. You have to be Catholic to pay, and you got to pay for that, right? You don't want to go to Pleasantville. Oh, I went to Pleasantville. My picture's in the Holy Spirit. My picture and everything. But there's nothing at all in the school that I graduated with the diploma. I have my diploma from Pleasantville. Nothing at all in that book.
Are you done?
Hello, Walter.
Are you done?
Yes.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I say that it's unnatural to go to your high school reunion. I don't think it's normal.
And now, the Sterling on Sunday showgram presents a unique time killer. Secret recordings of the local school board.
The parents are getting angry that every classroom isn't air-conditioned.
But why should we use tax dollars to air-condition classrooms? Eighth graders can't vote, and I need that money.
What do you need the money for?
I need it for deck wash for my boat, and a pool boy for my yard.
A pool boy? I didn't know you were Catholic.
Hey, hey, who said anything about being Catholic?
Next time on Secret School Board Meetings...
Make sure the vending machines in the cafeteria are always jammed, and bring the lost coins to me late at night so I can hand them to my pool boy.
Secret School Board Meetings is not meant to be funny. Take it easy. It is not associated with the usual edition or sweetheart soap. And be sure to download Sterling's podcast, Midnight Misfits, from the iHeart app. And we are not happy with lesbians in space.
Do you know what an on-air promo is? Television shows, for decades, have made these little movies, these little 5 and 10 second movies, to promote what you should watch on TV. The epicenter of the greatest on-air television promo was for Good Morning America, when David Hartman was the host. And I started thinking, shouldn't we all have a promo that before you go to work, before you see your friends, shouldn't a promo come before you? In movies, these are called trailers, but in television and in radio, they're called promos, because each week on Wednesday, I make promos for our powerful affiliates. And it's a struggle, because it's just a struggle. But then I was saying, well, maybe I need to watch great promos on TV to learn how to do the promos right. And it all came back to me that when David Hartman was the host of Good Morning America, these were mind-blowing promos. Listen to this, and then I'm going to tell you the most shocking thing about this promo.
First Lady Nancy Reagan's involved in a new campaign against drugs. She'll tell us about it tomorrow. Liza Minnelli tells about her new TV special, also Tom Cruise tomorrow on Good Morning America.
6 seconds. He did all that in 6 seconds.
First Lady Nancy Reagan's involved in a new campaign against drugs. She'll tell us about it tomorrow. Liza Minnelli tells about her new TV special, also Tom Cruise tomorrow on Good Morning America.
Also Tom Cruise. We have Nancy Reagan, and oh, by the way, we have Tom Cruise. Now, wouldn't it be great if you and I had a promo before we went to work? That if they got a robocall, they got a robocall from your home and said, Frank, from accounting, coming in seconds, green tie, smile. Wouldn't it be great if there was a promo for you and me before we got to work? Robocalls went out to everybody at work. Or we were coming home for dinner, and a call went to everybody in your family. And it said, George, coming home in seconds, dinner ready, no radishes.
First Lady Nancy Reagan's involved in a new campaign against drugs. She'll tell us about it tomorrow. Liza Minnelli tells about her new TV special, also Tom Cruise tomorrow on Good Morning America.
Why can't we have that for ourselves? And then I started checking around for other promos. And this was one for Sally Jesse Raphael. Again, they had to write these in 5 or 6 seconds in a way that made you stop everything and watch the show.
On the next Sally.
And when he walked through the door, he looked at me, the disgust in his eyes was like a dagger.
She'll never lose that moment of shame, but she sure lost the weight. She still relives his high school torment.
He threw the pickle in my hair. I had an orange thrown at me, too.
Why are you so mean to me?
You dumped me. Now eat your heart out, next Sally.
You dumped me. Now eat your heart out, next Sally. When you hear radio station promos, they don't sound anything like that. Now I got to watch Sally. You dumped me. Eat your heart out, next Sally. Whoa. All right, coming up in just seconds, I've got weather for you from Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather for you. Plus, coming up, here's your promo. Coming up, we're going to talk more about how to make promos for yourself, and you're going to hear the single most outrageous on-air television promo I've ever heard, and then let's you and I talk about the horrors of living in the suburbs. Weather next, Sterling on Sunday.
'Cause I get my weather from the radio.
Sterling on Sunday, live on your Sunday night, and it's Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, because we want you to know what to expect expect for tonight, for tomorrow. Get ready for the new work week. Just like any good morning radio show, here at night. And heavy rainfall continues to be a problem, will be a problem, through midweek. Lower Mississippi Valley up into the Mid-Atlantic. There's flood warnings through Kentucky. This rain is going to start spreading toward the Mid-Atlantic. Our friends at WMAL later in the day tomorrow. WPHT in Philadelphia. Then there's a new Canadian front that'll come through Chicago for WLS. And you'll see rain on Tuesday into Wednesday. The great news is there's some more cooler air behind that. Yes, this is the first full day of fall, so we kind of anticipate we'll start to see some cooler temperatures. Bangor, Maine has a frost advisory tonight. The Caribou Weather Office issuing freeze warnings at some higher elevations. There's also another problem tonight, and that's wildfires. The Charley Fire just north of Los Angeles. Six states are still under red flag warnings tonight. Little precipitation expected. We understand the L.A. County firefighters are doing a great job. We wish them the best. Stay safe, guys. But this fire is really spreading very fast in the last 24 hours. There's also tropical activity to tell you about. We have two named storms in the Atlantic, Kirk and Leslie. And at this point, don't worry about either one of them. Leslie is in the North Atlantic, will only last a couple of days. Kirk is racing across the Atlantic toward the Caribbean, may become a problem toward the end of the week, but at this point, doesn't look like that's the case. In fact, what we're most worried about is another tropical low just off the North Carolina coast, believe it or not. Incredible river flooding is continuing through the state of North Carolina and northern South Carolina, still the results of Florence. And now another tropical low may be bringing another 2 to 6 inches of rain in that direction. Oh my goodness, let's see if that's the way that works out. Portions of I-95 are still closed tonight. I-40 finally opened up toward Wilmington, and I don't know if you saw the picture on Walter's Facebook page, but there's pictures of dead fish all over I-40 after that water cleared out of the way. That's how intense that flooding was across North Carolina from Florence. Otherwise, across the country, things are in pretty good shape. Guam had an earthquake 24 hours ago. We understand everybody's okay there, and I hope that's the way it is. Scattered showers and thunderstorms here on Monday afternoon for Guam, high of 85. They'll be partly sunny after that for most of the rest of the week, with shower chances returning by the time we get to Friday. Also want to mention there's a horrible typhoon that's approaching Taiwan. Southern portions of Japan could be in the bullseye for that as well. I hope that works out okay for all those folks, but everybody's on alert there. Again, rain through the mid-Mississippi Valley, headed toward the mid-Atlantic. That's going to be a big part of our Monday forecast. Another shot of moisture with the actual primary Canadian front zooming down through the upper Midwest, headed across Chicagoland, then down to the Ohio Valley. I don't think it gets that far south. The warm and muggy conditions across the deep south will probably continue for most of the week, but lots of rain expected for the eastern half of the country. Folks, grab your rain gear if that's where you are, because you're going to need it to start the brand new work week, and that will be coming up. We'll keep you updated, of course, and your local radio station, smart enough to carry Sterling on Sunday. This is Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Make sure you have a great week coming up.
You're listening to Sterling on Sunday, not for weak program directors. I'm John Sebastian. Hire me to be the voice of your business. Call 888-688-WALT to learn about my big voice.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT with Walter M. Sterling. I used to be a suit, and now I'm a talk show host. How this happened, I don't know. There's John in Philadelphia. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, John.
Yo, Walt. What's up, buddy?
Yo, buddy. What's up with you? You doing any work? Hey, you goofing listen, off? What's the deal? What's the deal here, John?
Streaming online at work. And first,
where are you working?
I want to crack the ice like this. I just want to crack the ice like this. What is up with that meteorologist? That is unreal. The guy goes on for 20 minutes about weather. No one cares about weather that much, except for the people in North Carolina. What is up with that? Can we cut it down a little bit so that the listeners don't have to listen to him talk for that long?
Do you have your own show?
No, but nobody is listening to a weather show. We're listening to Walt. We want to hear you, baby. That's all that matters, not the weather. If I want to go listen to the weather, I'm going to look up the weather on my phone.
Okay, that's not why you called. Why'd you call?
No, absolutely right. I just had to get that off my chest because I felt like it was necessary.
Well, let's discuss the... Wait, John. Let me deal with your issue. If you go on Google Trends and you type in four search topics, Scarlett Johansson, baseball, sex, weather. Type in those four search terms for Google Trends. Sex, Scarlett Johansson, what was the other one I said? And weather. Sex and weather. You type in those four and then type in anything else you want and always type in weather. Weather overwhelmingly is the most searched term.
I agree, John. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I just want to say, who's the sexy voice on the Lesbians in Space?
Which part? You mean the woman's voice?
No, the male voice.
Oh, the guy who opens it?
Yeah.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
That?
Yes. Who's that?
Okay, there are two voices at the beginning. Right, here's the first voice.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
You mean that voice?
Yeah, who's that?
That's a long-dead announcer from 1948 who really said...
The CBS Radio Workshop.
There really was a show called the CBS Radio Workshop in the 40s. And that was a real...
That's absolutely cool.
It's gold, isn't it?
God forbid. If I die, put me on Lesbians in Space, please. For the love of God, you have my right now.
Let's see what else I got for you then. Hold on a second. There's another one I like. Let's see. Hold on. Because I know on a network show, everybody wants to hear me look through the software to find something to entertain you with.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
Who probably likes sports.
CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
Who probably likes sports.
Would you like to guess the mystery voice in a chance to get a prize announcement, John?
What voice are we talking about? Which one? The chick?
No, this one.
You know what, though? You know what my wife doesn't realize, though? Is that she calls me Mama, too.
Who do you think that is, John?
I have absolutely no clue.
Then you can't win the prize. Thanks very much for your call at 888-688-WALT. I do the show from the laundry room of my home. It's not figurative. It's literal. You hear the noise in the background? It's the washer. Why is the washer on? Because one of my kids, the 15-year-old, who we have to talk about later because I actually need your advice, said, I have to do more wash now. I said, we have to do more wash now. I'm on the air. She said, I know, but I have to do it now. It's for school tomorrow. I can't do it at another time. I go, what? Therefore, on this giant network show heard on important radio stations like Bill Hess's WMAL. You know, Bill Hess is in charge of all the news and talk stations for the largest radio company in America. He doesn't actually have approval of things, but they have to say, yes, I talked to Bill about it. And we're on WMAL-FM, Washington, D.C., which means that the entire Trump family is probably listening to me going, we have to rewrite the FCC rules. All right, now I was talking to you about on-air promos, and I am fascinated by television on-air promos.
Human resources has become a Goliath.
Yes, that is a very serious problem, Judge Judy, but I pushed the wrong button.
First Lady Nancy Reagan's involved in a new campaign against drugs. She'll tell us about it tomorrow. Liza Minnelli tells about her new TV special, also Tom Cruise tomorrow on Good Morning America.
In 6 seconds, you wanted to watch Good Morning America. And I believe that you and I should be able to leave the house with our own promo, that there's a robocall that goes into work and says, Joe, Wait, how would it go? Joe, loading dock, big guy, brings his own lunch in seconds. Each of us should have our own promo that calls ahead to home or our friends, wherever we're meeting up, or work, and announces that we're coming. But it has to be written in the style of great on-air promos that take place on TV.
On the next Jerry Springer, Denise is caught in a tangled web. And the only way out is to confess.
Our baby may not be yours because I'm sleeping with your brother.
That's my twin brother.
Bring on the double trouble. So you're not sure which brother is the father of Zen?
Probably going to be fine. On our show,
it starts with some fighting words. On the next Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, who had been the mayor of Cincinnati, when he started his television show, it was a book show. He had on serious authors discussing serious topics at a little round table. Do you remember that? No, you don't remember. It was long ago. But it was very serious because he is, in fact, a well-educated, erudite man who was the mayor of a major city. No ratings. No freaking ratings. Anytime you do serious stuff on radio or TV, commercial radio or TV, there's not going to be any ratings. That's why I don't do it. Why would I do it? Jerry Springer found that these shows were the only ones that got ratings.
On the next Jerry Springer, Denise is caught in a tangled web. And the only way out is to confess.
Our baby may not be yours because I'm sleeping with your brother.
That's my twin brother.
Bring on the double trouble. So you're not sure which brother is the father of Zen?
Probably going to be fine. On our show,
it starts with some fighting words. On the next Jerry Springer.
And that's what you and I want to see. I watched the Emmys. Did you watch the Emmys? I watched the Emmys. I know it's cool to say, well, you know, I don't watch an awards show. I didn't really watch the Emmys. I watched the Emmys. And you know what I saw on the Emmys? I saw a historic moment. And the historic moment was that ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, the original broadcast networks, forget about Dumont. No one knows about that. That's cute in history. You learn that in communication school. No one cares. ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox won exactly two Emmys. Two. The rest went to Hulu, Netflix, Amazon. They won all the Emmys. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they weren't allowed in the Emmys. They had the Cable Ace Awards. The Cable Ace Awards, I say, it's because our shows, our ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox shows, have stopped doing meaningful promos. We've stopped doing meaningful promos. And I think that when you and I go to work, we go to see friends, there should be automatic calls that go ahead that announce we're coming, like a promo. Here's a promo for Joan Rivers, and then I'm going to play for you, the mother load of great promos.
The older the men are, the more I go kiss them.
I do it as a blind person, and I think 10 years from now, I'll think, how did I do it? All on my next show.
Monday morning at 9, only on Channel 2.
Next, Joan Rivers. But here is the mother load of promos. This was an over-the-air promo on FCC-licensed television stations. And if the radio stations I'm on right now had on-air promos like this, they'd have 10 shares. They have 10 shares when I'm on. But the rest of the time, nothing. I'm Walter Sterling. I'm live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live, and I'm in the laundry room. That's the noise you hear in the background. That's actually the washer. I am live in the laundry room. It's not pretend. It's not theater of the mind. No, this is actually basement of reality. Listen to this promo. Listen to it very carefully.
Marriages often end in problems. But what do you do when your husband rapes your mother? When a man's lesbian wife kills six people? Married to a monster. Next Geraldo.
Next Geraldo. Geraldo Rivera's television show. Ran for like 15 years. Hugely successful television show. Every single day there was a promo like this.
Marriages often end in problems. But what do you do when your husband rapes your mother? When a man's lesbian wife kills six people? Married to a monster. Next Geraldo.
What do you do with a lesbian wife who murders and a husband who rapes your mother? What? How does that work out at Thanksgiving? Now, this Geraldo Rivera, you know what happened to him? He's on his third or fourth wife. His current wife, Erica, says, I want to move to a safe, nice suburb to raise our kid. He has a 12-year-old daughter. And he says, well, where do you want to move? And his wife, Erica, says, I want to move to where I grew up, Shaker Heights, Ohio. Shaker Heights, Ohio. It's a suburb of Cleveland. It happens to be a magnificent suburb, physically, a beautiful suburb, but it is the suburbs. And, you know, I'm Geraldo Rivera from New York City, raised in New York City, career in New York City for 800 years. You want me to move to Shaker Heights, Ohio? No man ever says, we've got to move to the suburbs. There has never been a man who says, yes, I want to move to the suburbs. The suburbs are a horrible place. It turns out that the malaise and depression that you often feel living in the suburbs is very physiologically real. There have been studies done, major studies done, thousands of people. And it turns out it's not my imagination or yours. The suburbs are lousy places for our well-being. We need to interact with other people. The biggest myth of living in the suburbs, the biggest myth of living in the suburbs is that everybody's friendly. The first time I saw my neighbors next door, you know what I said? No English. I pretended not to know English. The first thing my father did when we moved into our house when I was like 3 or 4, he planted fast, high-growing shrubbery on the borders of our property and learned how to build a brick wall. He did what he had to do. He couldn't afford to hire a mason to build a brick wall. He learned how to build it himself. And he built a brick wall that stands to this day, 400 years later. Because the suburbs are not only bad psychologically, they make us feel isolated and depressed and sad. There's no mingling on the street. There's nothing good about living in the suburbs. Nothing. And like I say, I believe the major cause of divorce in America is unspoken. It's not cheating by men, because men don't cheat. Women cheat. It's amazing how many guilty women are walking around because they cheat. And then they look for suspicious activity on the part of their husbands. Their husbands are doing nothing but working, worrying about the kids, and commuting from the suburbs. The major cause of divorce is the suburbs. Because every man, when they get on that train or that car or that bus to go home or to go to work, has this subliminal or top of mind thought, which is, I'm only doing this because my wife wanted to live in the suburbs. No guy says, you know, honey, let's move from our cool apartment here in Center City, Philadelphia, our cool apartment here in Oak Park, and let's move, or Georgetown, our cool apartment in Georgetown, let's move way out to the suburbs. Let's do that. Wouldn't that be fantastic? They've also found it's not better for the kids. One of the myths is, well, you know, it'll be a much better environment for the kids. Not really. The city is a better environment for the kids. I believe that the major cause of divorce in America is living in the suburbs. In no married couple, lesbian or otherwise, in no married couple do both members say, yes, we've got to live in the suburbs. One of them had to sell the other. And the remaining partner is a walking resentment that they are in the suburbs. That's what I know. My phone number is live. I'm Walter Sterling on a Sunday night. My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Everybody who calls in tonight, from, let's see, where is it? I-5 in Portland, Seattle, California. You say, I'm driving on I-5. You'll get put on first. Or if you're on I-80 in Pennsylvania, you will get put on first. Just say, I'm driving on I-80 or I'm driving on I-5. You'll get put on first. You get a chance to win the prize announcement by guessing the mystery voice. We're going to have Florida stories coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday welcomes Midnight Misfits.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. We have multiple topics operating, multiple topics. We're talking about stupid high school reunions, and your own personal promos. You should have your very own promo.
Marriages often end in problems, but what do you do when your husband rapes your mother? When a man's lesbian wife kills six people? Marriage to a monster, next to Robert.
Add the fact that I strongly believe the major cause of divorce is moving to the suburbs.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell. Oh my
God. From WMAL, home of Bill Hess and Mary Walter, and Chris Plant, and all of the serious people, all of the grown-ups work at WMAL, and then me, which is why when I say, why don't you have me promote my show in Morning Drive on WMAL the way I do on other giant stations, I never get a returned email. Tinfoil Mark in Falls Church, Virginia, listening on WMAL. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Mr. Wong. Good
oh, my guy.
You.
You're my guy. You're my guy. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, I just walked in and I heard you talking about promos, right?
Yes.
And I'm a little kid and I'm watching black and white TV and I always see this promo from the American Trucking Association where they go, America moves by truck. Think about it. Everything you touch today got to you by truck. Do you remember that? Did you see it? Black and white TV?
You know, I don't remember that because we never had a black and white TV. I'm not that old. But
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. The other part of it, do you know you realize that they don't make black and white TVs anymore? You cannot buy a black and white TV. You can't. Wilson in Palo Alto, California, listening on KKSF, Real Talk 910. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you welcoming me on your show. I'm definitely a misfit. I'm out here in Northern California, an unabashed Trump supporter surrounded by quote-unquote liberals, according to the label. And, you know, we stick together out here. But I tell you, it's good to be bold. It's good to be who you are. So regardless of where you are, you have to be who you are. And I find that regardless of what side of the aisle, so to speak, people are on, we can still be friends.
Not anymore. You're right, Wilson. That used to be true, but not anymore. Now people have to stay anonymous about who it is that they supported. We're talking about the fact that if you live in the suburbs, that is the primary cause of divorce. I believe being forced to live in the suburbs is the primary cause of divorce. Not the guy cheating. Guys don't cheat. Women cheat. Guys don't cheat. They're too tired. Women cheat. But that isn't why people get a divorce. They get a divorce because one member or the other was coerced into living in the suburbs.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, here we go. 888-688-WALT, talking about many things, including the fact that the suburbs are not good for us. It turns out that if you live in the suburbs, you're always broke because the suburbs have endless people coming to the door saying, buy this. Neighborhood kids, buy the lemonade, buy the Girl Scout cookies. They always want you to buy something. What's the result? I'm always broke. Cycling is painful. You think, well, you know, it'd be great if we moved to the suburbs. I can always bicycle everywhere. Bicycling in the suburbs is hell because in the city, they know what to do. In the city, cars know what to do. In the suburbs, they have no idea what to do. The worst thing is when they follow you from behind. And the dumbest thing I see these cyclists in the suburbs do, oh my God, get on the freaking sidewalk. That's what it's for. Get on the sidewalk. Stop this. And the most dangerous thing in the world is these idiot bicyclers. And by the way, you're not supposed to do certain things after you're like 22, and one of them is bicycle. Unless you're a professional biker, and that didn't go well for Lance Armstrong. Unless you're a professional biker, you're not supposed to be bicycling after you're 22. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's weird. It's weird. So you see these jerks on these $4,000 bikes, and what do? They have a baby buggy that they're towing in the street. They're towing a baby in the street on a bike. Not on the sidewalk. Stop it. There's nothing more dangerous. It's too easy to get fat in the suburbs because you don't walk anywhere. You're always paying. Your commuting is your life. It's not neighborly. This is the one thing they found out about the suburbs. It's absolutely true. It is not neighborly. The thing you and I do in the suburbs is we do everything possible to avoid actually having a conversation with our neighbors. And then we feel guilty. Well, you know, we're all here. We're supposed to be baking each other pie. No, wrong. Wrong, wrong. Nathan in Virginia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And my phone number for you, it's live, is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. And if you're driving on I-5 through Washington, Oregon, and California, and you say, I'm on I-5, you will be put on immediately. And if you're driving on I-80 in Pennsylvania, through the Pennsylvania wilds, which means nobody could figure out how to develop it, you get on first. 888-688-9258. Hi, Nathan. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. First time I've heard the show, and I like the topic, must admit. With the suburbs, I the pros and cons, which also leads to the significant other and the women not, or the men not cheating, I guess you could say. I would guess when I moved to the burbs, at first I was hesitant, but now it's more of an escape because I can work on my car, I can work on my motorcycle, and it gives me that me time that in the city you just can't get away from your significant other.
Do you like working on your car?
I do, because it gets me time out of the house and time that I don't have to do my honey-do list.
The most truest thing you've just said is a phenomena that all men suffer with. And it's a really interesting thing. All men seek ways to get away from their significant other. But they have to do it in a constructive way. We have to appear to be doing something constructive. So you have had to learn auto mechanics, the class you avoided in high school at all costs because it was for greasers and dummies, which is tragic because nobody makes more money than auto mechanics. But the fact is you never dreamed of fixing your own car until you got married.
Exactly.
It's a tragedy. What's the other
thing?
And what's the other thing you do to get away from your wife?
Work on the motorcycle as well. So yet another mechanical inclination. And the gun range.
And the gun range. And the gun range. That's fantastic. Nathan, thanks very much for listening on WMAL in Washington, home of Mary Walter, Chris Plant, all the big shots, all the big guns, the serious grown-ups. But we're not serious, and all the grown-ups have gone to bed, so you and I get to tell our stories. And we have the best stories. The day people who hand out forms, they're just annoying. I hate them. I hate them all. I hate them more. Anybody who works in HR, God love you, but don't listen to my show. If you work in HR, just don't listen to my show. 888-688-9258. Will in Chicago, listening to Steve Dahl's WLS 890. Hi.
Hey, Sterling, how are you, man? Good show. Hey. Love and listen to you.
Love you.
So, the burbs. So, about 5 years ago, I finally caved and that or knuckled under to the pressure from my wife to move from down in the city, nice commute to the office, out to some far west suburb, Naperville, to get closer by her folks. And I thought, well, you know, I'm doing this for her. I'm doing this for the kids. I'm trying to make it work so that the marriage can work better. And I'm spending all my time on the train getting downtown and back. And so about a year after that started, then she said, well, this is not really working for us. You should find a job out here in the suburbs so you don't have to commute downtown to work. And I tried to find a job. That wasn't working out, and couldn't find an equally satisfying and paying job out here in the Naperville area with my work. And sure enough, now I'm sitting probably a couple months away from finalizing on a divorce because she can't handle the suburban life, and I wasn't that suburban husband she was looking for after 14 years of marriage. Brutal.
First of all,
totally brutal.
It is brutal.
Yep.
First of all, I really feel sorry that you're going through a divorce, but you did prove my point, which of course makes you a saint to me. And the fact is that no man ever says, I want to move to the suburbs. This is something that men are coerced into, and it leads me to a far grander meta point, which is very important in debate. And here it is, my friend, here it is. I don't get it. When I hear women today complain about the fact that they are living in a patriarchy, the men are in charge, I'm like, wait a minute. In the home I grew up in, mom was clearly in charge, and all the other homes was in charge. What does that mean? Mom, wife, decides where you're going to live, where your kids are going to school, what she's going to do for a living or not, because you're going to work, buddy. And what car That's you're right. going to drive, what car you're going to, you can have the old car, but the new car she's going to decide on, and she's going to decide whether or not you get Howard Stern on Sirius. It really depends if they want to, she wants to pay for that. She finds it a little scary when the kids run into that. And she decides where you're going to go for Thanksgiving, where you're going to go for Christmas, where you're going to go for the Jewish holidays. Mom decides all of these things. I don't know where the hell this nonsense has come from lately where, you know, men are oppressing us. Really? Not in my lifetime. Not in the work situation. Anytime I've ever been in a meeting with grown-ups who wear suits, and there are many, many, many very talented, capable women in those meetings, men defer to the women. That has been my experience, Will. How about you?
You know, I would agree with that. I grew up in the suburbs, and, you know, my mom sort of ruled the roost a little bit, and, you know, it wasn't quite enough for my dad. And so, you know, I was a holidays and weekends with my dad in the city, you know. But my father-in-law, he's a different breed. He loves it out in the suburbs. He loves it out here in Naperville, and, you know, could never imagine living in the city, too close, too congested, you know, sort of likes the you know, the half acre of land he lives on, and just sort of, you know.
He probably has one of those rider mowers, too. Kevin in Philadelphia, listening on WPHT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. You and I are live. If you're driving on I-5 through California, Oregon, Washington State, or I-80 driving through Pennsylvania, just mention that when you call in. You will be put on immediately. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Kevin.
Hey, man, you're pretty good. I love you. You're funny, and you're a pretty smart dude. I like you, man.
So are you.
But I'm pretty good. But I was going to say, man, the bike lanes are painted in the streets. So, I mean, how do you get around that?
Use the bike lanes. Too often what I see are people who should be using the bike lanes, and they aren't. Do you ride a bike?
Yes, I do.
Now, last week in Philadelphia was the Naked Bike Run. Did you do that?
Hell no.
Is it because you're embarrassed you have a small penis? Is that why you didn't do it?
Oh, no. I'm pretty good. You know, I got a 6.5, 6.75. But, no, that's just not my style. I'm a little bit more conservative.
Well, I understand. Thank you very much for calling on 1210 WPHT at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. One of the things we have an allergy to, if you just started listening to Sterling on Sunday, congratulations for improving your Sunday night. Congratulations for finally having something to do on a Sunday night. We're live. It's unbelievable. I'm live in Guam. I'm live in San Francisco. There's no accountability for taste. Here's the deal. I find public radio to be very disturbing, not because they have a political point of view that I don't agree with, no, but because they always speak so slowly and in such condescending phrases. Here's the usual edition, this week's episode from public radio.
Hey!
Hey, play it. What do you mean it froze? You know, isn't that great? We're at a moment in time where we're building time machines into the future. And there was the whole Nazi, well, it's too late now. I can't do it now. So let's grab that call. We'll do that. You and I are talking about the fact that I'm sure the major reason for divorce in America is when the couple decides to move to the suburbs, because in no time does the dad say, yes, let's move to the suburbs. No man says we're going to move to the suburbs. Therefore, and in lesbian couples, one of them, I don't know how it works. I don't understand it. I respect it, and I'd like to know more about it, but I don't understand it. In a lesbian couple, one person convinces the other, let's move to the suburbs. But both of them never want to go. In no married couple, no significant relationship couple, do both people say, yes, let's move to the suburbs. Never happens. I believe the major cause of divorce is the suburbs, because of the resentment for commuting, having to pretend you like to talk to neighbors you don't, and the fact that you're going to go broke. The minute you go to the suburbs, you're going to go broke. Jim in Missouri, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Walter, you're the man.
I'm the man. I am the man. And Jim, that means you are the man in Missouri.
Hey, are you done with your spin cycle, or do you have to move your laundry from the washer to the dryer, or does she do that?
During the break, because I'm a good dad, I will move the wash from the washer to the dryer. But people think I'm kidding. This, I'm broadcasting from the laundry room of my house, and I've got to put up pictures of that. But I want pictures to be dramatic. No, we're in the laundry room of my house.
I'm convinced. Hey, you know what I'm wondering, just thinking about the DACAs. Remember how the DACAs was like the biggest thing since sliced bread? And that, I know their deadline came and went, but you didn't hear a thing about it.
You know what else you didn't hear about? Remember 8 months ago, Jim, remember 8 months ago, President Trump said that by law, he had to release all of the documents related to the Kennedy assassination, all of them. And then he said, listen, I've been requested by some of the agencies in the government to review this and not release everything. And he said, in 6 months, I will release everything. Well, that was a month ago. That deadline was a month ago. Where is all the docs on the Kennedy assassination that we were promised would be released a month ago? All right, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to listen to the usual edition. Plus, we will have Florida stories, plus our Midnight Misfits. And if you're listening on I-5 in California, I-80 in Pennsylvania, and you call in live, you'll go on first. 888-688-9258 is my number. 888-688-9258. I am live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hurricane hits North Carolina, and the death count in Puerto Rico is anyone's guess. But the major story is that Julia Salazar wins a New York State primary. Julia is a freshly minted socialist. She said she came here from poverty in Colombia and is Jewish. Actually, she was born in Florida and has hundreds of thousands in a trust fund. While in college, she was accused of bank fraud, clearly overqualified to be a politician. Here's what recently knighted New York Senator Charles Schumer feels about the brand new socialist Julia Salazar's win.
It was implemented in a way that created chaos and confusion across the country.
We asked Trump deplorables for their reaction to the most important election in history, the election of a socialist revelation, Julia Salazar of New York to a state Senate seat.
Oh my gosh, what did the trailer park manager do with the garbage cans? They are all over the place. Raccoons couldn't have done all of this. I paid the rent. I'm not in the mood for this. Where is the cooler? Go Tribe!
Across the country, bells are ringing in Democratic strongholds for the win of Julia Salazar to the New York State Senate. Jim Kelly Oppie has this report from the homeless street tents in San Francisco.
We asked San Franciscans if they were at all concerned that Julia Salazar of New York had probably lied about being Jewish, was an anti-abortion Christian, while in college, didn't actually graduate from college. Claimed to be an immigrant, but was born in Florida. And said she was poor, when in fact, she has a fat trust fund.
commenting on the allegations of inappropriate sex by former CBS CEO Les Moonves, fellow liberal Lorne Michaels of Saturday Night Live fame says,
I was watching the show. I was surprised you didn't do Harvey Weinstein.
Public Radio is grateful for its supporters. This episode of The Usual Edition, made possible by the estate of Bob Ross.
Sometimes, when I get that color going, it's fun to take and reflect a mountain right into the water.
Next time on The Usual Edition, our team of over 800 reporters with odd facial hair and 23 Sarah Lawrence College interns reveals the connection between the destruction caused by Hurricane Florence on the recent tweet of Orange Man. Now, obscure jazz mandatory on all public radio shows.
Usual Edition, a regular feature on Sterling on Sunday, because this is a morning show at night, which is why it just doesn't fit in.
Marriages often end in problems, but what do you do when your husband rapes your mother? When a man's lesbian wife kills six people? Marriage to a monster, next to Robert.
The major cause of trouble is when you're forced to move to the suburbs. 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Who is Walter Sterling? Let me explain. Because we have so many new affiliates, because this is such a hot show, much to the shock and disgust of most of American radio people who believe you should be very serious. You should only be screaming at the Democrats. I think it's covered. I think there are enough really talented people screaming at Democrats that it's covered. I don't see any need for me to extend that franchise. Instead, I want to talk to you about something that bothers me. Why is it that there are small, medium, large, jumbo eggs? Small, medium, large, and jumbo eggs. And in most stores, they all cost the same amount. Some stores, the jumbos will be like a nickel more. Why would anybody buy anything but the jumbo eggs? I always buy the jumbo eggs because I look and go, well, they're all the same price. Why would I buy anything but the jumbo eggs? 888-688-WALT. Real program directors are going, that's his topic? Why don't people only buy jumbo eggs? That's gonna get us ratings? Oh, my God. No, here's what's going to get your ratings. I believe that the primary cause of divorce in America is the move to the suburbs. It is unspoken because you're just a bad person if you think it's bad to live in the suburbs. I never hear this said. It is, in fact, bad to live in the suburbs. Turns out psychological studies reveal, welcome, KDKA. Hello, KDKA. That important studies reveal that the malaise you feel and the vague depression and the sense of dread and doom that you feel most mornings and at about 3 p.m. every Sunday afternoon is because of the suburbs. People who live in Center City, live downtown, live in a bustling community downtown do not have those feelings. Those are suburban feelings. Here are all the problems. There have been studies. It's a pain to bicycle. People move to the suburbs. Well, be able to ride our bikes everywhere. Listen, once you're over 22, you're not supposed to be on a bicycle. You're not supposed to be playing Ultimate Frisbee. You're not supposed to be fascinated by slime. Only 13-year-old girls are supposed to be fascinated by slime. You don't know what slime it is? You're just out of it. My job is not here to keep you up culturally. I'm not here to keep you up on cultural things. That's not my job. It's too easy to get fat in the suburbs. It turns out that the number one cause of getting fat is getting married. That most people in the first year of marriage gain 17 pounds. And when I read this study, oh my God. And then the average overweight of someone who's been married 5 years, the average poundage of somebody who's overweight is 37 pounds. And son of a gun, that's exactly what happened to me. In my first year of marriage, I put on 17 pounds. Why? Well, I didn't have to work at it anymore. There she is. Then, over the years, well, this is a nice meal. I don't have to go to the gym. I'm already married. The dad bod takes over, and it's 37 pounds of overweight. And it's not healthy. And I don't need to tell you that, but it's a fact. It's not you. Everybody who gets married gets fat. Primary cause of overweightness, not obesity, but just getting overweight, 17 pounds in the first year. It's too easy to get fat in the suburbs. We're always paying in the suburbs. I'm not biking. I'm getting around in the car. Cars don't run for free. Gas costs a fortune. Oh, my God. And then anytime I want to get milk, anytime I just need a snack, I'm getting in the car and I'm wasting gas. I'm always spending money on gas. When I lived in the city, most of my life I lived in Manhattan. You know where I got milk at 3 in the morning? I crossed the street. I went downstairs and I crossed the street and there was milk. Or as my 13-year-old Meredith says, Dad, when we lived in the city, if I wanted Dunkin' Donuts, we went across the street. Now we have to get in the car. It's stupid. You're right, Meredith. It is stupid. There's nothing about it that's good. Also, the way most suburbs are laid out, they're not logical. The lack of logic in the layout of most suburban towns adds to our confusion and our sense of isolation. Commuting is our life. There's nothing neighborly. That's one of the big myths, is that when you move into the suburbs, you know you're going to be surrounded by people who are nice. No, I was surrounded by people who were nice and friendly in Manhattan. Suburbs, not so much. Everybody ignores everybody else. The neighbors across the street make their guests parallel park on the street in such a way I can't even get out, says one suburbanite. After a big snowfall, some of my neighbors shovel snow onto the road. Nobody says hello or even acknowledges your existence. If you bought a house in the suburbs, you probably got it because you want something really big. The problem is that it just turns into a storage unit. It's all about clutter. And you feel trapped. I feel trapped in the suburbs. I feel a tremendous sense of claustrophobia in the suburbs because for me to go anywhere where there's a buzz, I either have to make a long commute or have to get on a damn plane. That's what I believe. That the major cause of divorce is the suburbs, because one member of the couple said, let's move to the suburbs, and the other member said, I don't want to move to the suburbs. And then the water went over the rocks, and they argued about this for a long time. And finally, the husband gave in. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. If you are driving on I-5 in California or Oregon or Washington State, you get on the air first. If you're driving on I-80 in Pennsylvania, you get on the air first. Oh, there's Keith Mortensen. Keith, are you feeling better? I hope so. Keith drives a big 18-wheeler for UPS. He listens to Sterling on Sunday. Judy Anderson, a registered nurse, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And Neil Pohl, who's an executive at a big joint, has a big joint, smokes a big joint. There's Neil Pohl. They got engaged on our show in January. Now it is September. I wonder when they're going to get married. And I wonder if we're going to broadcast from their wedding. And I wonder if this time... Sorry. I have the damn cold everybody has. I wonder if this time, when I actually broadcast a wedding, if the freaking sales department's going to wake up and put in product placement and sell it. Wouldn't that be spectacular? I broadcast from a laundry room. Good, clean fun. A good, clean broadcast. Where's the Procter & Gamble signage? Or the Lever Brothers signage? Or the free Clorox? Where is that? We're broadcasting from a laundry room. Think of all of the brand possibilities. Do you run a company? Doesn't have to be laundry related. You could have signage rights, naming rights, to the Sterling on Sunday laundry room. In fact, let's forget the sales department because they've had too much opportunity to do it. I want you to contact me directly. If you own a business and you operate a business or you run an ad agency, a humorless algorithm-run ad agency, well, you know, we have to put in media value when we're calculating this. Shut up. Shut up with your media value. All you're supposed to care about if you run an ad agency is, do you move product? This show and most spoken word shows move product. That's what we do. Don't you worry about whether the environment or if I say anything controversial, because if you disagree with it, it's suddenly controversial. Oh, my gosh. Meanwhile, I'll go into a men's room, and on the wall above the urinal, I will see major brands like Degree deodorant advertised at the urinal. Is that a good environment for your message? I don't think so. That wouldn't be where I put my money. But, Joe, we can show the number of people who urinate in 10 minutes and calculate the return on investment there. Yes. Oh, yes, I'll have another drink. Thank you very much. Are we going to that conference in Monaco? Are we going to the conference in Monaco? Yes. Oh, that's fabulous. We'll go there and discuss marketing plans. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When I was a kid, my dad owned retail stores. And my dad bought the radio shows and the other advertising that he personally liked, which is the one thing you're not supposed to do in advertising. You're not supposed to put in subjective taste into advertising media buys. You're supposed to buy based on return on investment and cost per points and cost per thousands. That's what you're supposed to do. But he didn't do that. And he had very successful businesses. He bought shows that he liked. He bought radio stations and outdoor and print that he liked. That's what he bought. And then when I was about 16 or 17, he realized that I was a radio professional at a very young age. He said, well, you know, should I be buying commercials in a different way? I said, let me handle it for you. And I did it the way a media buying, like Mindshare, Media Vest, Media Screw You, with the 22-year-old buyer who will buy your radio show if you give her tickets to Taylor Swift. Yeah, that's how those transactions happen. Oh, no, it's not like that anymore. Yes, it is. It's worse. Anyway, so I went and bought the proper way based on ratings. And I bought commercials for my dad's businesses based on ratings and variety of formats and all of that crap. And after about 4 months of that, buying it the right way, my dad came to me and he said, how are you going to college? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, if I keep buying commercials the way you want me to, we're going to have no business and we're going to close. And I was doing it based on media value, the actual audience relative to the price of the commercial and all the formulas, the way you're supposed to do it, the way companies like MediaVest, Starcom, Mindshare, the way they all do it. And it's wrong. The way you're supposed to do it is, hey, you're in the car right now on I-5, I-80 in Pennsylvania. We're driving across the country together on a Sunday night, and you're listening to this story. And you just smiled because I told you the punchline that my dad said, we'll have no business if I keep doing it with you, kid. That's how people listen to the radio. And if I say, you know what, I think it'd be a good idea if you bought this amazing soda that I'm drinking, which is Diet Cherry 7-Up. They give me no money for this, but Diet Cherry 7-Up is the best soda I've ever had in my life. I am addicted to this stuff. I buy it all the time. You should try it. You should try Diet Cherry 7-Up. Why don't you do that? You know what's going to happen? Most of you, meaning you, you got to try it now. Now, tomorrow, next time you're in the store, you're going to buy Diet Cherry 7-Up. Not because of Starcom, MediaVest, Uncle Luigi, this agency. No, no. It's because you and I have a relationship. And our relationship today says it is a really bad idea to live in the suburbs. It's a bad idea to live in the suburbs. Here's my number. It's 888-688-WALT. Therefore, the first person who runs a business and owns a business, who sends me a note to walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com, says, I want naming rights to your laundry room, we'll work out a deal. Imagine your store, your business, your consultancy, medical practice, whatever it is. Every time I'm on the air, I will mention your business. It cannot hurt. You can buy the naming rights to the laundry room. If you're driving back to Cincinnati and you work at Procter & Gamble, you probably want to get right on this because the guy from Lever Brothers is looking at it hard. And Clorox is like, why aren't we buying this? He's in the laundry room. His kids are doing laundry during the show. Why aren't we dealing with this? But my feeling is this. This is the topic. The worst thing you can do to a marriage is move to the suburbs. I have never heard a guy in my life say, I can't wait to move to the suburbs. This is what guys say. My wife wants to move to the suburbs. Please don't tell me that we live in a patriarchy. In my experience, in my life, my wife, the mom, gets to decide where the kids go to school, what car we drive, what house we live in, what color the living room is going to be, what type of mattress we're going to buy, what the second car will be, where we're going to go on vacation, where we're going to go for the Jewish holidays, where we're going for Christmas, where we're going for Thanksgiving. These are all things that are determined by the woman in the relationship. I'm a little confused when I hear women saying, you know, we're not in charge of anything. You're in charge of everything. And have been for decades. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
I'm the next Jerry Springer. Denise is caught in a tangled web. And the only way out is to confess.
Our baby may not be yours because I'm sleeping with your brother.
That's my twin brother.
Bring on the double trouble. So you're not sure which brother is the father of Zen?
Well, they're going to be fine.
On our show, it starts with some fighting words. Jerry Springer.
All right, I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, Florida stories. Sterling on Sunday.
Okay, well, for our first Florida story, we're going to go down to Port St. Lucie.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
A man is jailed after accusations of taking teens to park to, he says, do their thing. I know. Okay, so it's actually the kid's dad. The boy's dad takes him and his girlfriend to the park. Now, I know, like, some parents overdo it with trying to be cool with their kids and whatnot, but even if you're okay with your kid doing it and you want to facilitate that, wouldn't you let them go to your bedroom? Would you really take them to a public place? But this guy did. So that's how it's Florida crazy from the father's point of view. But from the son's point of view, when the 15-year-old son came back with his 15-year-old girlfriend, the cops asked where they had been. This is the quote, effing and smoking. Can you imagine saying that to a cop when you're 15? Effing and smoking. That is amazing.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What? What?
Okay, for our next Florida story, we're going up to Marion County where a woman's going to jail after pushing her neighbor and saying, I'm a Kardashian. I'm going to F you up. She's 35 years old. Her name's Crystal. Crystal's one of those names where you've known a lot of crystals, and I can't tell you who is going to cure cancer, but I can tell you their name is not going to be Crystal. So Crystal gets arrested for simple battery, screaming at her neighbors, yelling, making a big scene at 2 p.m. Her reason? She said her neighbor is nosy. Neighbor is nosy. I don't think that would have been on the Family Feud top six answers on the board or whatever.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What? What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to Flagler County, Florida, where pot keeps washing up on the shores. A Florida man tried to take 11 pounds of marijuana that washed up on a county beach, but didn't report it to law enforcement. The local sheriff is quoted in the paper here saying the guy tried to take advantage of a situation and it completely backfired on him. The cops show up. This guy is putting bales of weed in his car, and the cops say, what are you going to do with that? He said, I was holding it for you. It didn't really work that well, did it? Now, that's a funny story to you and me, but in Florida, this is normal. In this one county, over 100 pounds of marijuana has turned up on the beach over the course of 2 days. 23 bales of marijuana washed up on the beach Wednesday in Ormond-by-the-Sea, which is the next county over. Florida, where drugs just wash up on the beach.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What? What?
Florida man won't be charged in bestiality case because of law loophole. You know what? We're just going to skip that one. That's
hold my beer.
No.
Hold my beer.
Hold
my beer.
Not today, buddy. All right, for our next Florida story, we go down to Tampa. Now, this one's actually kind of awful. A 34-year-old named Keith is our Florida man. He's going to prison on a manslaughter charge. These guys got in an argument over a pool game. One guy punches the other. He falls and hits his head and dies. It's kind of one of these freak accident things, but a guy's going to jail for manslaughter. That's one of those where sometimes Florida's funny, sometimes Florida's serious, man.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We'll end on a good one here. Florida neighbors can't bear the sight of their nude gardener. This is in Stuart, Florida. Residents in a North Stuart neighborhood complained to the sheriff about a man who does yard work and walks around his property in the buff. Deputies say there's nothing they can do. Really? So you can just do that? A neighbor named Melissa says, I came out Sunday night to put the trash out, and I look over, and he's bent over winding up his hose, and that's in the view of my neighborhood. She means his garden hose. Thank you very much. Don't look at me like that, Mr. Producer over there. Something's wrong with him. But another neighbor, Molly, seems much more cool when she's asked by the newspaper what's going on. I am not one of those people that have concerns because it is their way of life, and it is on their property, and I know it is legal. Very pragmatic, that Molly. The TV station tried to speak with the nude gardener. He declined to be interviewed. He said he was not interested in being interviewed because he and his family were private people. Right. Right. That's the kicker. There's your Florida stories.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right. It's time for our Midnight Misfit Club. Welcome, Leonard Lyon, Jim Kelly, Anita Tyer, Janine Mumphrey, David Lynch, Ann Nupp, Peter Thiel, James Copeland. James Copeland, most talented man I can think of. Mark Strahl, Diane Strandberg, Shannon McLeish, who works at the steel plant right now, listens to Sterling on Sunday, Jay Jones, Karen and Mr. Sneakers, Neil Paul, Judy Anderson, Irene Lennon, welcome, welcome, welcome. These are our Midnight Misfits. If you want to be a Midnight Misfit, all you have to do to get a free membership card is go to waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling.com. Click on the Midnight Misfits. You can get the membership card, and you're going to need it. Because tonight I'm going to give you a secret encoded message. When you decode it, you send me an email that says this is what the message says, and you'll get a free copy of Organize Your Way by my current, much younger, very beautiful wife. Organize Your Way. You'll get a free copy of the book for decoding our secret message. All right, there's Judy listening on WBAP. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very excited to be speaking to you. Do you have a bad joke?
No, I have a good joke. Okay.
Well, we'll be the judge of that, Judy. We'll be the judge.
We're talking about a park, right? There was a news story that involved a park. So I'm going to tell you a joke with the park. There's this 85-year-old man, and he feels bad, so he goes to the doctor. Well, the doctor sees him a couple of days later at the park, and he's with this beautiful woman, and he looks like he's feeling real good. So the doctor goes up to him and says, wow, you look like you're feeling a lot better. And he says, yes, I am, doctor. I'm just following your orders. I got me a hot mama, and I feel cheerful. And the doctor says, I didn't say that. I said you have a heart murmur. Be careful.
Judy, I hope you call every week. We'll have giant ratings. Thank you very much for listening to WBAP. You know, this is the sort of public service that radio was invented for. This is what radio was invented for. Here's my number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Why would anyone want to talk to me about this? All right, Nick in Chicago listening on WLS. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again, Walt.
Thank you.
And to the people everywhere, everybody, even in Guam. I can't get over that. You got to someday tell a story. How did you get on Guam? You know, because
you want to know now? I'll tell you how. Want to know?
Okay. Yeah, if you can, yeah.
Right now I'm eating a donut.
Go ahead.
The way we got on in Guam is the man who owns the radio station in Guam, who also is the morning host on The Point in Guam, heard a sample of the show, and he heard me talking about the history of classic rock, and we had on a lesbian. And he said, well, anybody who's going to talk about The Who and lesbians, we want that show. I think you can respect that.
Well, now it's clear. Now I understand it. Now I can sleep better, because here it's an hour earlier in Chicago than your area there. But I'm glad you explained it. But I want to mention, though, what I told the screener about, that I called about it. You did not bring it up, but I wanted to bring up this thing about this. I call it the poor guy Kavanaugh. I mean, I don't want to say that any woman who is accusing him of something is a complete liar, but I felt it was so mysterious in the beginning with the woman who, from 36 years ago, now she was just a kid then. She just a few years before that, she was like 14 and 15, 16, you know, then 17 when that original incident that she claimed happened. So I can understand maybe she's confused and she wasn't sure what to do, but what I don't understand is how the mother or father, if she had both at home, and I believe she did, how one of them or both of them didn't notice that something's wrong with her, something's, you know, not right, something's bothering her, you know. Normally they would pursue and say, you know, what happened, what's going on, we got to know, and then, you know, it would go to a police action probably, you know, of calling the police and filling out some forms and all that, which did not happen. And then it was, that stuff was sitting with Feinstein, I believe was her name, the politician in California. It was sitting with her for, what, like 3 months before they finally took some action on when the hearings are getting very close, you see. And now that they got a little bit of a delay, they brought somebody else in. Now, and they're going to keep bringing people, just like with Trump. With Trump, some of them actually might have been legitimate people that he had encounters with. I'm not saying that they had relationships.
All right, let's play a game. Would you like to play a game? Let's play a game.
Go ahead.
Let's play this game because it will actually tie into what you're saying. Are you ready? I'd like you right now to name all the brands of deodorant, whether you use them or not, that you can think of. There's no right or wrong here. Just rattle off the names of all the brands of deodorants you can think of, whether you use them or not. Go ahead.
Well, let's see. There's Right Guard. There's Menon, Mitchum, Speed Stick, Degree. You mentioned that. That's about all I can think of. I'm very limited.
Okay, you're not. Okay. No, I appreciate that. Let me tell you why we did that. You named five. There are 40 brands of deodorant, at least, on the shelf in every supermarket in America. Now, you shop for them every week, every 2 weeks, get a new deodorant. You look for it. You look at those shelves. But you could only name five. Well, it turns out that you and I can only name seven brand names of any given product category, unless we happen to work in the deodorant industry or the shampoo industry or the car industry or the tire industry. But if you're not in that business, if I said name all the radio stations you can think of in Chicago, you could name five or six. There are 48 radio stations in Chicago. Our brains are capable of remembering seven items at the most in any given product category. Try it yourself. Try it with your friends next time you're at Chili's. You'll see that it's seven. Now, please tell me exactly how something that happened over 30 years ago, regardless of what it is going to be remembered accurately. I'm Walter M. Sterling at 888-688-WALT. Now, here's Meredith. Meredith is my 13-year-old. And Meredith has come down here to move her into the laundry room to move her wash from the washer to the dryer. Meredith, hello.
Hello, Dad.
Now, I think everybody in the East Coast will be shocked that you're up at 12:13 at night. Does this make me a bad father?
No, it's kind of more of my fault.
Why is it your fault? Why are you taking personal responsibility for this? Because it's unusual for you to take personal responsibility.
Because I was the one that decided to procrastinate on my homework.
Have you finished your homework by now?
No.
How much more homework do we have to do, or am I going to have to be writing notes to your school tomorrow?
I can handle it. I have a little bit left, I'd say.
What do you have left?
Like two things to do.
Math?
No.
Oh, so there's hope.
Yes.
But you're not going to do it tonight, because when we're done with this conversation, you're going to go to bed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now listen, Meredith, here's my question. The 15-year-old, look, you want me to cough in your ear, or you want me to turn off the mic? The 15-year-old has homecoming. Now, I've never understood what homecoming is. When I was in school, we had dances and proms. I don't know what homecoming means. She's always home. The question is, she's beautiful, and she's interesting, but she doesn't have a date. She needs a date for homecoming. As her younger sister at 13, Meredith, why don't you think your older sister has a date? What is the problem with your sister? Why is she repellent to dates?
I wouldn't understand. So she complains, not frequently, but sometimes she's like, oh, I don't have a date to homecoming. But I don't think she puts herself out there. I'd expect, when I see her in her classes, I'd expect her to just be like antisocial, you know, or just talking to her friends. So, I'm not really sure.
What advice would you give her to getting a date to homecoming in high school at the age of 15? What advice would you give your sister?
Well, you see, I don't really know very well if this is accurate or not, but I feel like since she wears sweatpants and puts her hair up in like a messy bun every single day, maybe if she would actually try to look nice every day, maybe. Somebody would approach her.
So you say her appearance is repulsive.
Yes. Well, I feel like she would be scary. She scares me sometimes. So, like, maybe she should be less scary.
Less scary.
Yes.
All right. Perhaps you have advice for us at 888-688-WALT. How can my 15-year-old get a date for homecoming? Homecoming dance is this Saturday. And I'm afraid to say anything to her because I don't want to make her feel intimidated or self-conscious. I don't want to be, you know, that dad where he says, well, you know, you should do this and this to attract men. I don't believe in any of that. I believe that she's plenty attractive enough, but I find it bizarre, world, that she doesn't have a date for homecoming. You don't find it so bizarre, do you, Meredith, younger sister?
No.
All right, now go change your laundry. Thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. That's my Meredith. She's 13. She has a lot of opinions. There's Patrick in Schaumburg, Illinois, listening on 50,000 watt WLS. Hello.
Walter, listen to you. I'm originally. Yeah. I was growing up in Brooklyn. I used to listen to Gene Shepherd at night, and I'm beginning to think that you sound an awful lot like him, and I was wondering if you ever listened to him.
All right. Well, first I have to explain
who he is.
Well, first I have to explain who he is. You saw the movie A Christmas Story. Everybody loves the movie A Christmas Story. Well, that's narrated. That's by Gene Shepherd, and he wrote it.
Right.
Exactly, and he wrote A Christmas Story, but before he did all that, he was on the radio every. On the number one radio station in America from 1958 to 1975. He did a one-hour monologue every week. He was from Indiana, but he was on the number one radio station in America for an hour every night. He told a one-hour story with no phone calls, no guests. He told a story, A Christmas Story, the movie. And I think you'll agree with me, Patrick, is a compilation of many of his stories. Pieces of many of his stories put together into a coherent movie, right? Now,
yes, absolutely.
But the thing that always intrigued me about Gene Shepherd is he told a monologue. Don't listen on the radio, just listen on the phone. He told a story without a script. He had no script. And he told a whole story for 45 minutes every night with no script. Yes, first of all, if there's any similarity, it's an accident because Gene Shepherd had talent and I just have luck. And the sad thing is that he didn't have 10,000 hours on the air. He had 100,000 hours on the air. But if you think I vaguely resemble him, that's the highest compliment. It's also completely impossible. Thank you very much for your call at 888-688-WAL. There's the legendary Gary Arnell. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, Walter.
What happened to Gary? Where's Gary? Legendary Gary Arnell, when you went to Temple this week, did you atone for the crime you had confessed to last week? Did you confess to that crime in Temple?
I have to tell you, Walter,
went to temple. We get to the silent meditation part on Yom Kippur, the highest, holiest day of the Jewish calendar, when God is sealing the book for the year ahead, and I'm thinking, do I ask for atonement for when I get into Walmart and I am picking out a couple of apples for the day? I don't buy them by the bag. I buy them every day. And then I get up to the scale, because I always do the self-checkout. And I get up to the scale, and I like Fuji apples, but they're about 40 to 50 cents more per pound than the Macintosh. And I get very conflicted. I know what the moral right thing to do is, and that is to put in the code for the Fuji apple. But yet I have this pull that tries to overcome me and force me to put in the cheaper code. I have done it occasionally, not recently, because after I do it, I ask myself, why am I doing this? So what I asked for atonement for was the psychology of this, because I then looked up kleptomania, and I said, am I an apple kleptomania? Now, let me just give you this, Walter. Kleptomania is the inability to refrain from the urge for stealing items, and is usually done for reasons other than personal use or financial gain. It was described in 1816, classified in psychiatry as an impulse control disorder. So I don't do it, but what has me conflicted and what I ask for atonement for is, why am I on the precipice of putting in a code that is going to save me about 20 cents when it's not in my moral fiber to do it? And I haven't had an answer from God yet.
Hold that thought.
Yes.
Well, hold that thought. I'm sure God will call in just seconds. We're talking to Gary Arnell about his moral dilemma, about whether or not he should be honest at self-checkout. Plus, we're going to deal with the amazing reality that Cher, of all people, has always considered herself, like you and me, a misfit.
Sterling on Sunday celebrates the third shift.
All right, you and I are working the third shift. We are misfits. We don't fit in. We don't hand out forms. We are handed forms. And coming up in just seconds, you're going to hear from Cher, who explains why she always felt she was a misfit.
Now, everyone is excited. It's time for the secret Midnight Misfit Decoder message. Listen and decode this on your Midnight Misfit Decoder card.
Here is the secret message that you have to decode. V4S. The number one. 4SK. 7K. I'll read it once more. And if you send me an email to Walter at Stacy's Entire Tree Service and tell me what the translation is, Walter at Stacy's Entire Tree Service.com, and tell me what the translation is, you will be sent a copy of my wife's book, which is called Organize Your Way. Here it is again, V4S1 4SK 7K. Get your Midnight Misfit card at waltermsterling.com.
Get your Midnight Misfit decoder card for free right now at the website waltermsterling.com, and listen again for this mysterious music.
It's unbelievable. All right, Gary Arnell has a moral dilemma, which is, should you lie at self-service when you put in which type of apple it is? Because there are three or four different types of apples. They all cost a different amount.
They all cost a different amount, and you know that, at least I know in my heart, deep in my aortic valve, that I'm an honest person when it comes to doing that. And what bothers me is the pull to go in there and to try to save.
In the justice system, there are two types of crime TV shows: major crimes involving murder and minor crimes involving splendor. Sterling on Sunday, the serial, minor crimes.
All right, 888-688-WALT. This is your chance to deal with the guilt that you have before going to bed or going into work on the third shift. What do you feel guilty about the crime that you commit? Now, there's Gary Arnell, who I hope in one sentence is going to explain what his dilemma is at self-checkout.
My dilemma is struggling to combat this inner motivation to put an incorrect code in for the apple that I am picking that will result in me paying about 6 cents less than what I should be paying to check out. Inexplicable.
You lie at self-checkout. You lie at self-checkout.
No,
Did you confess this in temple?
I ask God to please explain to me and give me forgiveness on the Day of Atonement for why I have this urge to do this when there is absolutely no sound reason to do it. And it's immoral. And what bothers me is the fact that I have this dilemma every time I get up there and it asks me to put the code in. I want to put the cheaper code in. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I don't get that you haven't done it. Do you actually think that the ACE team at Walmart is going to catch it?
No, and the thing is, I preach to my kids all the time. I tell them, look, if you're going up there and, you know, you're going to buy some kind of produce or something and you have to put the code in, these people are watching. They're standing. The A-team is looking. No, they're not looking. They're not watching. They're glancing over at the Subway right next door so that they're wondering when their break time is. But for me, Walter, it's just a matter of moral fiber and a matter of why do I even contemplate doing it? That's what I can't understand. I need a good shrink to explain to me why I am possessed every single time I go up to the self-serve checkout. What I'm thinking is maybe the answer is I should go, even if I have two apples in my bag and there's three carts in front of me that are loaded, I ought to go into one of those regular cashier aisles where I'm not tempted. I have no.
Well, here's my dilemma at Walmart. My dilemma at Walmart is this. I too often in the checkout line get behind somebody who has the largest stuffed cart possible, and then when they get up to the cashier, they start talking to the cashier as though they are long lost friends. They start these endless conversations with the cashier while conducting a conversation on their cell phone with the painter and explaining what color the room should be while talking to the cashier. And then at the end of all of this, they say the words we dread most in all retail situations: do you take checks? And if you hear somebody say, take checks, you know you have chosen the wrong lines. Now, let me share with you today my Walmart experience. And I'd like to hear from you if you have a moral dilemma like Gary's. Gary debates whether or not to put in a cheaper Apple code when he's at self-checkout at Walmart. Perhaps you have a similar moral dilemma. Here's my phone number. I'm live on a Sunday night at KXNT in Las Vegas, at WLS in Chicago, WMAL in Washington, D.C., WBAP in Dallas. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. What are your moral dilemmas? What is keeping you up right before you go to bed? I'm in Walmart today. There are three types of Walmarts. There are ghetto Walmarts, there are Nirvana Walmarts, and there are random Walmarts. The random Walmart is this. The Walmart people found a large space. They have a large building, but it's not quite big enough to be a Walmart, to have everything you want, to have the aisles laid out in a line of sight, to have them logical, to have the entrance properly juxtaposed to the registers. It's not quite right. I'm in a random Walmart today where they have a building and they have randomly thrown in the materials to make a Walmart. They have thrown in the ingredients of a Walmart. There are shelves. the refrigerators, but they make no sense. They're completely illogical, Gary, completely illogical. But here was the one, I've never seen this before. Here's the food section of the Walmart. Okay, fine. I get the cheap cereal, I get the cheap Nutella, and now I'm going to go to the deli part to get oven-roasted turkey for the kids and to get Munster cheese for the kids and to buy too much bologna, all right? And to get eggs. You won't believe this. This random Walmart had a food section with no deli section, no meat section, no fish section. It did not have a delicatessen counter or a bakery. No bakery, no delicatessen counter, no meat, no fish section. Like, what? It was a completely random setup of a Walmart there. Oh, gee, we just forgot to have a deli and a bakery in our food section. There are Walmarts without food sections, but they, the ones that do have food sections tend to have all food groups. This one did not. I'm looking around. It wasn't there. It absolutely wasn't there. My biggest moral dilemma is the following. Number one, I steal Splenda. If you're in a restaurant, I steal Splenda. Here's what's terrifying to me. Many of the Midnight Misfits, like James Bronson, Randy Blank, Leonard Lyon, George Miller, Jay Jones, welcome, Jason Harvey, many Midnight Misfits have actually started mailing me Splenda. I can't speak to where they get it. I certainly hope they're not stealing it, because as a broadcaster, I could never advocate breaking the law. I hope they don't steal it, but people like James Copeland and Zach St. Clair have been mailing me Splenda. And I appreciate that, and I respect the fact that they actually listen to the show. The other dilemma I've got is that when I'm in your home, I will steal dishwasher pods. Because the good kind of dishwasher pods, not the Walgreen kind. The Walgreen kind just have one color. The good dishwasher pods have three different colors. They have blue, purple, and green. Those are the good ones. I will steal that. I'm not a stealing, like you, Gary Arnell, I'm not a stealing kind of guy. For example, I've lived half my life in hotels. I would never steal a towel. Once I came home and found in my suitcase a towel from a hotel, you know what I did? I mailed it back.
No way.
True. I mailed it back because my family owned hotels, I know how much that costs, what a theft thing it is. But I wouldn't steal a towel, but I will steal Splenda. So I'd like to know what you do, what petty crimes you commit. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
In the justice system, there are two types of crime TV shows. Major crimes involving murder and minor crimes involving Splenda. Sterling on Sunday, The Serial. Minor crimes.
Did you watch the Emmys, Gary?
I did watch them, and I thought it was absolutely terrible. It was just, it was as though Lorne had produced it as just a secondary effort to a Saturday Night Live program that was coming up. I thought the hosts were horrible. I thought the show was horrible. There was no reason to really one of the things that bugs me about these shows is, why don't we have an honor award show for surgeons who may be close to finding a cure for cancer? And I understand the intrinsic entertainment value of this thing. Believe me, in the business, I understand that. But this self-aggrandizement of that gown, oh my God, what she was wearing when she came down the aisle, and the chit-chat prior to it, it's bloviating about what you do as a profession. And I understand that it's self-promoting and the intrinsic value of it from an entertainment perspective to promote these shows, but it was horrible. And if that's a reflection, and I heard you mention earlier in the show tonight, what'd you say, there were like two Emmys that came from broadcast TV, two or three?
That's it. No, only
yeah.
Two.
And that's reflective of the type of program that was. But all of these award shows, my daughter's had some medical issues, and I've seen some phenomenal doctors. I want to put together an award show for the best doctor who's done research in some area that may be producing some results. I know it's dull, but the fact of the matter is when I see these people and all of this self-aggrandizement about this stuff, it's just, I don't know, doesn't do it for me. Doesn't. And now with the Miss America contest, they took away the swimsuit competition. What do they think we're tuning in for? And this is not to get the meat, you know, the meat
about the
and all upset.
Yeah, but about the Emmys. They had Betty White out there, 96-year-old Betty White. But what I didn't understand is why was Betty White there? She was not given an award. She was not given a Lifetime Achievement Award. What did you? I watched the recording three times. I still don't know why. I'm glad she was there. I'm glad she can breathe. But I don't understand why she was there. Why was she there, Gary?
I don't understand that. I didn't understand it. I thought it was. And I understand her humor, but it reaches a certain point in the cycle of life where it was almost, for me, it was almost embarrassing to an extent. And I do love the woman, and I love the elderly, and I love my senior citizens and my grandparents and all that stuff. I didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
But then I noticed that there's a theme to the shows that do win the awards. And it's a very interesting theme now. We've at this point where it used to be that all these cable shows got a Cable Ace Award. They could not enter the Emmys. Now they're all in the Emmys. Now they're all one, and that's why there are only two. An award show, by the way, and Saturday Night Live that won Emmys. All right, here's the pattern. It's really bizarre. All the ones that win awards are British seaside murder mysteries. They speak British. All of them speak British. And so to win an award now in America, you have to, number one, speak British. It has to be a procedural detective show at a British seaside town with a population of 830. And it has the highest murder rate in the world. Highest murder rate in the world seems to be at British seaside towns, which has very dour detectives who never take off their coats. That's how you know they're detectives. And they're looking for the murderer. Everybody in town knows who the murderer is, but for some reason it's a stumper for the detective. And then they're very dour. They're very unpleasant. And the most amazing thing to me about all the murder mysteries, all the procedural police shows, all of the very violent crime shows, overwhelmingly watched by women. I don't understand this. When I come into the TV room and my much younger, very beautiful wife, she's always watching a murder mystery in British. They're always speaking British. And I'll say to her, could we please watch like a stupid romantic comedy? I, the guy, I'm always saying, could we please watch a stupid romantic? Oh, no, let me just see the end of my show. She's always saying, I just need to see the end of my show. And it's always her show because it certainly is not mine. And but that's what you need to win an Emmy. And it's very painful for me to watch these shows. There's this show on about the first expedition to Mars starring Sean Penn. Well, there's Sean Penn, and this is the worst show. It's called The First. It's called The First, and it's on Hulu called The First. And it's about the first expedition to Mars, 8-episode show. And, you know, I'm a guy. I'm very excited about seeing the first expedition to Mars, Gary. And what do I see? You watch this thing, and it's about NASA, starring Sean Penn as the leader of these people going to the first expedition on Mars. And what is her boss? What is his boss? A British woman. A woman runs NASA. That's fine. Speaking British. How the hell is a woman speaking British running NASA?
And then
here's the worst part. All right, that's the first episode. The next episodes from 2 to 8, there's nothing going on Mars. It's all about family dilemmas and everybody speaking very, very slowly, very slowly with bizarre flashbacks. And then here's this woman speaking British. Gary Arnell, thank you very much. How can our friends be in touch with you?
Write me at Radio Arnell, RadioRnell at Verizon.net.
Say it again. It's radio.
Radio, RadioR, N like in Nancy, E-L, at Verizon.net. And, Walter, we must really split company right now because I have a British murder mystery that I need to go watch right now.
Yeah, well, don't miss the conclusion. Thank you very much, Gary Arnell. Your number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It turns out that Cher, thinks she is a misfit. Coming up in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, a perfect 5 minutes.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell.
It's really hard to beat that, isn't it? I will go another 10 years without having another drop as good as that.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell.
Unless it's this.
Marriages often end in problems, but what do you do when your husband rapes your mother? When a man's lesbian wife kills six people? Married to a monster, next to Robert.
A man's lesbian wife. 888-688-WALT. Now, I wish we could be together more and we could be on longer. That would be fantastic. I wish we were on every day. I get so many nice notes from you at Facebook at Walter M. Sterling. Walter M. Sterling on Facebook. I love your notes on Facebook. Thank you so much. It's so much fun to be interactive and fully engaged with the listener. And I have an email, and every email I get gets answered. The email address is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. Plus, if you missed any part of any of our exciting shows, they're all posted at waltermsterling.com, and you can download our podcast, Midnight Misfits, that's you, from the website, waltermsterling.com. I have a little gas tonight. I don't know why. WalterMSterling.com, that's our website. You can download our cast. You can get your Midnight Misfit membership card. It's just chock full of excitement. Cher thinks she was a misfit. Listen to this.
I understand it completely because I, no matter what, I've always felt like an outsider. And so, also I knew two gay men when I was 9 years old. And I just thought, oh my God, they're more fun than any of my mother's other friends.
Cher always felt like a misfit, and I always felt like a misfit. Now think about what Cher has accomplished, all her number one records, her incredible stage show. There's about to be a Broadway show coming out this fall called Cher, about her life. Nobody who fits in, who gets along, who's chosen first for the team, those people never do anything extraordinary. It's you and me who don't fit in, who are always pushed and pulled and challenged and questioned and made fun of, that look for solutions. You and I look for new solutions because the world that we were born into is not for us. Therefore, we look for ways to make it for us, to make it appropriate for us, to find the solutions, to find a place where we're comfortable, to find the eccentric place where you and I can live comfortably. Do not ask me to groupthink. Do not ask me to brainstorm. Give me the problem. I will go to the corner. I will chew the meat alone and come back to you with a solution. That's who you and I are. We are left-handed. We are chosen for the team last. That's who you and I are. All right, it's always very exciting. The greatest gift you can give me is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.